I am really passionate about teaching women how to build, I call it a dream job, whatever that looks like for you, without sacrificing weekends and priorities.
Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Holly, welcome to the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today. For those of our audience who don't know Holly, do you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you got started?
Yeah, I love this question. It's like, describe your life story in 1 minute. So my name is Holly Haynes. I am in Columbus, Ohio. I just recently retired from my 22-year corporate strategy job. So my background is a business strategist. And during the pandemic, I built a 6+ figure business and retired myself and my husband. So I am really passionate about teaching women like you and your listeners how to build, I call it a dream job, whatever that looks like for you, without sacrificing weekends and priorities. Because what I found at the beginning of starting my business was I was working, you know, 50+ hours in corporate. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like this business thing is not, like it's not for the faint of heart, right? Like it's a lot of work. So how the heck am I going to do this? Because I don't have 20 hours a week to do it. And so I really dug deep into my background and figured out a system, kind of like a merge between time management and systems and productivity and sort of all the things that you need to build a super full-time business on a very part-time schedule.
That is amazing. And I just want to commend you too for building an entire multi-6-figure business while also working your full-time corporate job. That is not for the faint of heart. And that is amazing.
Say though, so I have twins that are 8 and I had this like great idea to start this business in January. It was 2020. It was like before the pandemic hit. And we're like into month 2 of my, okay, we're going to do this thing. And then obviously COVID hit. And then my girls were in kindergarten. So all of a sudden we were teaching kindergarten at home via Zoom. And I'm like, if you want to talk about what is harder, building a business or kindergarten on Zoom, I would totally say kindergarten on Zoom. I never want to repeat that ever again. It was so crazy.
I feel that to my core. My son's in preschool and we're like trying to do like letters and numbers. And I'm like, okay, trace it. He's like scribbling all over the paper. I'm like, okay, great. Okay. So I want to dive in a little bit about a couple different things you said. So one of the things you mentioned first off was that you retired you and your husband, which is incredible. So do you guys work together with your business or is he off doing his own thing now?
Yeah. So my husband actually retired from teaching when we had my twins. So he was a stay-at-home dad for a while. And then he just recently started in real estate. But one of the things that I wanted to do was to make sure that if I was home, that he was also home too. So part of our income mapping plan was like, how do we both work on this business together? So he actually is our customer service, and I say business analytics officer, right? So if you order like one of our planners, or you need to reset your password, or you can't find something, he's the one behind the scenes that's like answering the emails. He's really good at it and super patient. Maybe it's like all the years home with the girls. And then he also does all of our, I say business analytics. So I always say choose facts over feelings. So if something's not working, I'm a big fan of like, okay, let's look at factually what is happening. So he'll go in and look at our email numbers or conversion, or if we have like different contractors, like what are they doing and how are they doing it? So he's very much behind the scenes, but a super crucial part of the business. And for me, it was really easy to, we always joke, like hire him because it's kind of free, right? So it's a great way to outsource, if you can't outsource, to hire somebody that lives with you that you can teach sort of like what's going on and in how things work.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I think that's so fun. And what a unique opportunity for your family, because now your girls get to have both of you guys home and present, and they get to see like this dynamic duo, which I think is so cool. I also love the tip that you gave to hire a little outside the box. I'm pretty sure my mom was like my first copywriter on the team back in the day. So I feel that.
I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things is like when you're working full time and you're building business, every comment I get is, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't have time for this. So like one of my strategies was I have to outsource earlier than most people because I don't have the time. Like I just don't. And so that's a really easy way to say, hey, you want to help me with this? Like granted, he's like downstairs in his office, but like it works. I don't think everyone could hire their husband, but it's been fun to sort of see how things grow. And I would also say at the beginning, it was nice to have someone to like bounce ideas off of. Cause I think as moms and business owners, we tend to work in a silo. We're like, okay, I'm going to be a mom right now. I'm going to get these 12 things done. And then I'm going to be a corporate coworker and I'm going to get these 10 things done. And then I'm going to run my business. I'm going to get these 10 things done. And we forget that there are like people around us that will help us. And I think it's really hard to ask for help at the beginning. And so that I think actually helped us grow faster because there were two of us that were sort of in it with the same goals.
Yeah. And I know you touched on one thing, which was that you hired pretty early on. I'd love for you to walk us through kind of what that process looked like and where your mindset of that came from and how you came to the conclusion of, oh, I need to hire, but this is actually an investment for the future of our business.
Yeah. So there's two tips here that I like to share. First, I think if you're in a corporate job or in a full-time job, there's a lot of things that you can leverage while you're working full time. So a couple things that I did was like, hey, you know that I want to start a podcast. Maybe I could take a public speaking course that applied to my current job, but I knew that I could use it for my business later, right? So I tried to leverage like, what can I do in my full-time job that's going to help me in my business later on. Now, it's not like I was telling my boss, hey, I'm going to take this class because it's going to help my business. I obviously made sure that it would help in my full-time job as well. So that's one thing. But the second thing for me personally, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate, is I maybe had 1 to 2 hours a day to work on my business because I was working 40 to 50 hours. We did have young kids. It was a pandemic. You have to sleep at some point. And so I knew that there's no way I could do it all myself to scale the way that I wanted to scale. And so my first question with outsourcing is, what is your ultimate goal and what is the time frame that you want to reach it? Because if you think of like a project management triangle, like getting into my corporate background, it's like time, schedule, and work, right? One of them can change, but you can't change all three at once. And so for me, I knew my time schedule was super, like I wanted to make it happen fast. And I knew that the work that I needed to do. So the only thing that would make the timeline move faster was if I had extra help. So you can kind of look at that triangle and say like, okay, what lever can I pull? Maybe it's extending the timeline. Maybe it's changing the amount of work, or maybe it's hiring somebody. So the first person that I actually hired was one person to edit my podcast. So the podcast was the very first thing that I did because my goal was to build community first. And I wasn't really sure what I wanted to offer quite yet. And so that gave me sort of a platform to start sharing and asking questions and getting feedback. But I hated, and still to this day, I'm not great at it, editing podcasts. Like it is not my zone of genius. I would rather be doing something else. And so I was like, my number one goal is to make enough money so that I can hire somebody to publish the podcast. So that was the first step. If you don't have a podcast, the second step that I took was just to hire I call it a general VA. And the reason that I did that was one goal, and that was to repurpose and reshare content. So I'm a huge believer that at the beginning, and even now further down in my business, I always say content equals trust and establishes authority, and trust and authority equals sales. So if you're stuck and you're like, no one's paying attention to me, I can't get any sales, or I don't know what to do next, I always come back to content. Because to me, if you're sharing the right content and you're sharing content that's helping people and providing value, they're going to come back. And so I was writing posts, right, for Instagram at the time. And, you know, what's the algorithm? Like 1% of your followers actually see your posts. And I was like, I mean, this isn't really going to work. So I came up with this like method of how I could take my podcast episode and repurpose it 10 different ways. And then I hired a virtual assistant to help me repurpose that. So now I'm showing up on the podcast, Instagram, email, Pinterest, LinkedIn, I'm trying to think where else we put our stuff, blog. So we like 10x'd one piece of content, which then again goes back to more people are seeing it. You're in control of who's seeing it. Email became a really big focus. I was now controlling what content was coming out, where it was going, and it just really sort of 10x'd our visibility, which then helped with growth on the back end. So those were the two people that we hired first.
Okay, you said so many good things. First off, I love the fact that you use the analogy of the triangle. I've actually never heard anybody talk about that before. And I think that that's really important to think about. Okay, you have these three things. One of them has to stay the same, but like one of them could possibly change. Like you said, they can't all change at once. And so thinking about that, I feel like gives you a really structured way to make decisions with confidence. And so based on that, you were able to say, okay, I'm hiring out the podcast editing, which, listen, I did the same exact thing. I was like, can I edit this podcast? Yes. Should I spend 2 to 3 hours editing this podcast? Probably not. And so I did the same thing. I was like, okay, I need to find somebody who can do this, who's probably better at it and faster at it than I am. And then recognizing that, you know, you're putting all this time and energy to a pillar piece of content, whether it's a podcast or a YouTube channel or whatever. And then you were able to spread that across all platforms. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, when they're first getting started, they get caught up on, right? They're like, oh my gosh, I feel so overwhelmed. There's so many things I need to be doing. Like the gurus are telling me, you know, I need to have a podcast. I need to have an email list. I need to do all these different pieces. But you really thought, okay, I'm going to do this one thing really well. And then I'm going to sprinkle it onto these other channels. And I love that because that's so much more manageable. It doesn't feel overwhelming. And like you said, you could create systems around it. So you're able to say like, okay, you know, this is going out this day, this is going out this way, and it's super streamlined. And I'm sure now that you're, you know, a couple years into your business, it's like autopilot. It just goes out every week. You don't even have to think about it. And it's able to serve your business so well.
Yeah, it's really actually cool how it came together, because it really truly is like the very first thing I created almost 3 years ago was this like repurposing method. And like we still use it to this day, but it is like on autopilot now. Like you forget all the different places that things go. But I think it's interesting that people consume content differently, right? Like I'm a huge email person. I would so much rather read an email or listen to a podcast than be on social media. But some people love social media. Other people, because of my corporate background, are on LinkedIn. And so it's just allowing you to cover more places at once without doing more work, right? So it's just like work smarter, not harder kind of concept.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm glad you said exactly that, because I know you have your signature program, Crush the Rush. Tell us a little bit about that. And I know you're the systems guru. So tell us a little bit about, one, your program, and two, if someone was looking to get started in implementing some systems so that they can have that ideal work week for them, where would they even get started with that?
Yeah. So the Crush the Rush method actually is layered in pretty much everything that I teach. And so we do it a couple different ways. One, you can always just like go to the podcast and listen to the Crush the Rush podcast. And we cover sort of all of it twice a week there. But because at the beginning, community was such an important aspect to me, we've created a membership where if you're at the beginning of your business, or you're at a point in your business where you're really looking to scale, we provide sort of all of the things that you need to, I always say, to start, scale, and really grow, right? And it consists of four different steps. So I'm not a mindset expert, but I'm a huge believer in if you don't take care of yourself first, nothing else will. And nobody started a business to like work themselves into the ground. So we always start with that and talk a lot about seasons of business, right? So you might be in a season of a launch, or you might be in a season of nurture. Like, it just kind of depends, but you can think of the seasons of like the seasons of the year, right? So summer for us is like a season of fun and maybe a little bit slower, where fall is, okay, we're like getting back into schedules. We're going to create these things. Maybe you're going to launch something. Winter is more of a season of like nurturing. And so I like to talk about seasons of business so that you're not in full go mode all the time, because you have to think about your business as like something that you're going to do for life. And I always ask myself when I start to get overwhelmed, like, can I keep up this schedule forever? And if the answer is no, then it's like, you know what, something needs to change. So that's the first step, is sort of like mindset and seasons. And then the second step is really creating simple strategy. And you can kind of merge that with simple strategy and systems, which is step three. And that's really not overcomplicating things. And so my number one goal that I teach my clients and that I did at the beginning was to create what I call a client attraction system. So it's a super basic way of saying, build some funnels on the back end to help you. So maybe it's like downloading a freebie, and then the freebie goes to like a nurture sequence, and then that goes to some sort of offer. Or maybe it's like you have a free Facebook group, or it's something that's helping you nurture your future clients. Because if you're spending all this time creating all that content we just talked about, and you don't have a home base for your people to hang out at until you're ready to offer something, then you're going to lose them. And so we talk really basically about simple strategy and simple systems that you can create on a super part-time schedule, so that like while you're at your day job, somebody can download your freebie. They're going to go into your client attraction system, which is basically emails or things that you have set up on the back end, and they're going to be nurtured over time, so that when you do have an offer, then you can really focus on, hey, they're ready to purchase because you spent so much time getting to know them. And then step number three is systems and scalable offers. And one of the things that I teach is really looking at like, what are your goals? So I think the mistake that I made at the beginning of my business was I was like, oh, I'm going to create a course. Everyone creates courses. But I had like 20 people on my email list, half of which were my high school friends. And my course was priced at like $200. Well, 20 people times $200 is like not going to replace my corporate salary. Like, it's not going to work. So I had to really think about like, what is my goal and how do I get there? And for me, it was a high ticket offer first. So I like to say like, what offer makes the most sense for you? It might not be what Sally is doing or someone else is doing. And then finally, step four is measurable results. So that's really looking at, I mentioned earlier, facts, not feelings. What is happening? So like, are you spending all your money on outsourcing and you're not getting results? If that's happening, then you might want to look at, what is your content plan? And is the person you hired really doing what you thought they should be doing? Or if you're spending all your time posting on Instagram and your account's not growing, maybe you need to share different content. Or if you're sending out emails every week and people are unsubscribing, which is totally normal, but if you're getting more unsubscribes than you are followers, then, you know, maybe you need to adjust something. And so I'm always a big fan of looking at the data, because the data tells a story and will help you figure out what you need to do next.
Yeah.
So that's really the method. I think I forgot the second question that you asked, but we sort of incorporate that into everything that we teach.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I think one of the things that you touched on that is so important is really laying that foundation of trust, so that when you do set up those systems on the back end, like your client attraction funnel and system, so that when you actually push people into that, they have a, like you said, a place to go. And you've already built that foundational trust, so that when you do say, hey, you know, I've had this, you know, offer, it can help you in these ways, they're like, yes, please, we've been waiting for this. And they're excited. Yeah. And it's more of like, you know, a friendly, like, come on over here, let me help you, as opposed to feeling like salesy and kind of like uncomfortable. It's just like a natural ebb and flow.
Yeah, exactly.
And two, I think building that trust on the front end really allows you to get to know your audience. And I think you can probably, you know, you gave the example of, you're like, oh, I should, you know, build out this course, which is very time consuming, and I'm going to only charge $200, but I like don't have an audience to sell this to, and thinking about, okay, that's not the route to go. being really in tune with your audience to be able to say, actually, this is what they need. They need a high ticket offer where they can work on these specific things because you know your audience so well.
Yeah. And I think the other cool thing, especially if you are working full time, is you have a ton of experience. And so like at the beginning, I was like, well, who am I to like have a high ticket offer like right out the gate? But then it's like, oh, wait, I have 85 certifications that nobody knows the names of. And I also have a master's in business and strategy. Like, why can I not teach this? And so I think really taking a closer look at like, what are your clients asking? Or if you don't have clients yet, I always say like, if you had a unicorn client that was the perfect person that came to you, what would you teach them and what's the outcome you would want them to have? And then how do you create a program around that? Maybe it is a course, maybe it's not. It just kind of depends on like what your experience is.
And it's funny too, because I always tell people like, ask whoever's closest to you, like, what are you really good at? Because a lot of times it probably seems second nature to you for a lot of the things that you teach, because it's so integrated into your life and your business and how you live out. But for other people, they're like, whoa, this is mind blowing. And sometimes, you know, we can't always see it because we're so close to it. So asking people around us, like, what do you think that I'm really good at? Like, what do I bring to the table? And sometimes that can even give you clarity around your offer so that you can go back and create those systems.
Exactly. I always say if you're stuck, one, look at your content, two, look at the data, and three, ask somebody.
Yes.
Like, because they'll give you their opinion. People love to give you their opinion, always.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think it's so funny. I love people's opinions. I'm like, tell me all the things. Tell me how you really feel. Okay, so I want to dive into, since we're talking about offers, you know, you talk about introducing multiple offers and how to do so without feeling overwhelmed. What sort of tips and tricks do you have around that? Let's say somebody's rolled out like their initial offer and they're like, I'm thinking about adding an additional revenue stream. How do you recommend they go about that process?
Yeah, that is a great question. The first piece of advice I would give is go back to your base, right? So I always say, like, what's your long-term vision? Because the last thing you want to do is create an offer that's like taking up all your time and not really what you love to do, right? So you got to make sure that it's in alignment with like what your ultimate vision is. The second thing I say is I like to have what I call a signature method sort of like backing me up. So I just walked you guys through the Crush the Rush method, which is my signature method. Every single offer that I have created goes back to those four pillars. So if I start trying to teach yoga as an example, it would be like, Holly, like this doesn't make any sense. Like this is not, like maybe it fits in the mindset pillar, but like, no, like you shouldn't be doing this. So it's just like a sort of like a gut check of like, okay, what's the ultimate vision? Why am I doing this? And does it fit into like what I'm known for and what people recognize me for? That's the first step. The second step I would say is to really think about what you want to offer and the container that you want to offer it in as it relates to your client's experience. So the last thing that you want to do is roll out multiple offers and the clients get confused of like, oh, well, should I purchase this or should I purchase that? Or maybe I should purchase this or I don't understand how these work together. So I always like to think of your offer stack as like a three sort of pillar, like, or three layer cake. Think of it as a cake. That's a better example. And so you want to be able to offer things to your client that's like just getting started. So they're like a beginner, to a client that is maybe intermediate, right? Like they're starting, but maybe they want some additional help in certain areas, and then advanced. So it's like beginner, intermediate, advanced. And then thinking about, like, as an example, a freebie or a podcast or like a masterclass is most likely at the beginner level, right? So I can teach you how to build a lead magnet, and that's probably like beginner level, right? But another offer that you might want to create is more intermediate. And that's where like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to build a lead magnet, but then I'm going to teach you how to build the funnels on the back end. And I'm going to layer in some one-on-one. So it's like super customized. And that's somebody that's like at an intermediate level. And then an advanced level would be, hey, like, here's how to build your lead magnet. You probably already did it. Here's how to build some funnels. You probably already have a couple in place. Let's audit those funnels. And then let me introduce you to my community to help you market those funnels and scale those funnels and build Facebook ads. Like, you can see how I just took it like to the next level. So for us, what that looks like is we've got masterclasses and the podcast at the beginner level. We've got our Crush the Rush Club membership, which is anywhere from beginner to intermediate level. And then we have our mastermind, which is the advanced level. We're teaching the same things. It's just depending on like what level of business you're at, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the analogy of the cake because you're right. It's like building your layers. You have to set up your foundation. And then once they've graduated from that, you go to the second layer and then the third layer. And it's such a beautiful process because I'm sure you're really able to bring them through the journey full circle. And it's such a great way to ensure loyalty too, to make sure like it's not just a one and done. Like they don't just, you know, hop into the membership and they're done, or just purchase a planner, or, you know, just do the mastermind. You're really able to take them through that whole process, which I think is so cool.
Yeah. And it kind of builds off each other. So they can see like members of our club membership see members from the club go to the mastermind, and then they see what they do in the mastermind. And then they're like, oh, well, I want to do that. And so they have something to work towards. And then when you're in the mastermind, we actually have a higher level mastermind, which is our alumni group. And the mastermind members see people, oh, I want to do that. And then they grow to that phase. And so it's just this like current like nurture process that happens very organically, but it's because the offers were laid out in a strategic way. Again, taking it back to being super simple. Think of where your client is at beginner, intermediate, and advanced phases, and then start to create buckets of things that you can help them with around where they're at.
I love that. And then I feel like that ties right back into all of those systems that we talked about on the front end, which is where you're nurturing and building trust. And I like envision this circle where they're just like going around in a circle and they're getting all the information that they need.
I always joke. I'm like, once you come into the Crush the Rush community, you kind of never leave. Like, but we designed it that way, right? Like we want it to be this lifelong community where you meet other business friends and you get resources, and like I'm in it growing with you, right? So I'm sharing what I'm learning, and it's become this like really cool process to see come to life.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things you mentioned was community. And I think that that is so important, especially in the online space, because as you mentioned earlier, sometimes it does feel like you're like working in silos. Can you walk me through your process on building a strategic community and how you went about that?
Yeah. I mean, I will say at first, it probably wasn't strategic. It was, well, the very first step I took was to build the podcast. And that was because I wasn't sure what to offer. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start sharing and I'm going to listen to what the feedback is. So that was, I guess, step one in building the community that we have now. And so again, it was during the pandemic. And at the beginning, like if you go back to like the first couple episodes of my podcast, it's very much time management focused because that's like what we were going through. And so I just very organically was sharing like, hey, here's how we're doing this, or here's how I did this. And then people would start asking questions, and then I would just strategically answer the questions, except I was doing it live on a podcast platform. So I would say the first step to building community is to really listen to what people are asking you. Like, what questions are you getting in the DMs? Or if you're not even that far, like, what do your friends and family ask you? Like, what are you good at? And then start answering those questions. And that sort of just built over time. And then I mentioned the very first thing that we launched was actually a high ticket mastermind, which seems crazy. But I knew, one, that I had the background because I have a master's in business strategy to teach how to build a business. I feel like I'm this like weird person that actually has the business background. And so I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to teach. And I knew I wanted to teach it in a container where it was catering to that intermediate or advanced person. And so we used feedback that I got from the podcast or women that I had been working with, and then built the mastermind around that, which is a community in itself. So if you've ever been in a mastermind, like you're very much working day to day in a group where you can ask questions and you can provide feedback. So we try to structure any community that we build in a way where it's not just me teaching, and there are like opportunities to ask questions, provide feedback. Every Friday we do like an anonymous forum where they can like submit questions and share like what they would like to change or what they would like to see. And so it's kind of this back and forth of like really listening and sharing and asking questions and then creating content around that. And I feel like if you are in a position to create a community, even if it's just like a free Facebook group, ask the questions. Like, what do you guys want to see? What would be helpful for you? Because a lot of times what we think will be helpful is maybe not. And then you can adjust sort of as you go.
Yeah, I love that. And there's so many resources out there, like you said, that are free, whether it's a Facebook group or even like hopping on Instagram Live and filtering questions from there or a podcast. There's so many different places where you can go to kind of find that information. And I know even personally in the beginning when I like didn't have a big audience, I was like, okay, what sort of questions did I have in the beginning? And like starting off practicing answering those. And then eventually people got comfortable enough to speak up and, you know, have that dialogue, especially, you know, in direct messages and places like that. And I think that allows you to really understand, like you were saying, who your ideal person is, and then being able to meet them where they are with your offers, which is just like such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I love that. I would say the other thing, and I was just talking to my mastermind about this, is at any point in business, you should be, I say, serving or sharing at least 80% of the time, right? So you should only be selling about 20%. So if you think about building a community, like how are you serving them? How are you sharing? How are you making introductions of, oh my gosh, Amanda, I think this person would be great on your podcast, or this person would be so helpful in your community. Like, how are you helping and serving other business owners? And then the rest, the selling and the profit actually comes on the back end of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I have to ask, because you're the systems guru, what are some of your like favorite platforms to use day in and day out? If you had to pick like three.
Oh, I love this. Okay. My first platform that I'm obsessed with is Kajabi. So I chose Kajabi. It's like a website, email, build your course, host your community, kind of does all the things. Mm-hmm. It was actually motivating for me to pick Kajabi first because it's not cheap. It's like $120 a month, which at the beginning of your business, you're like, oh my gosh, like how this,
yes.
What is this?
Like, you're like, this is so much money.
But again, that was like my mission of like, okay, I have to pay for my podcast to get edited and I have to be able to afford Kajabi. And so I chose Kajabi because it does have emails. I could build my course in it, and we built our entire website on it. I say we, it was me up until about a month ago. It's just easy. Like, there's templates and everything is connected together. Everything is in one place. So I use Kajabi quite a bit. I use ConvertKit for emails. I went back and forth. A lot of my clients love Flowdesk and some of the other platforms. Again, I chose Kajabi and ConvertKit because I wanted something that I could grow into super long term. Mm-hmm. It's very robust. And so those are the two that I probably play the most in. I'm like a huge fan of using email to sort of automate things. What would be my third tool that I probably use the most? I would say at the beginning of my business, I did use Trello probably more than I use now, just to keep things organized. And then we just recently moved to ClickUp. But my advice is like, don't use ClickUp at the beginning. Like, it's just too much at one time. So just make sure that you have a place that you are able to keep track of things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I use Kajabi as well, and I love it. They actually just mm-hmm. like rolled out a couple of new features, and I'm like, ooh, this is fun.
I know.
And ConvertKit, I think, you know, going between ConvertKit and Flowdesk, we have the same conversations like within our business and then even with our clients too. I feel like Flowdesk is perfect if you're sending like pretty emails. And so for a lot of our clients, they're bloggers and influencers, so it meets them right where they are. But I think if you're looking to create, you know, a multi-tiered offer business where you have like different levels, like we were talking about, and you're looking to grow into it, ConvertKit just gives you so much more analytics, and it integrates yeah. really well with other platforms because it's a little bit more established. So they've had time to like connect ConvertKit with other platforms, so you don't have to like do weird things on the back end. So for those two reasons, I'm with you. I love both of those yeah. as well. Yeah, we use ClickUp. ClickUp can be robust. Sometimes I feel like I'm like, what am I looking at? And then other days I'm like, I love this platform so much, I could never use anything else.
It takes a little bit getting used to. And I always feel like at the beginning you have like shiny object syndrome and you're like, oh my God, Beyonce's using ClickUp and ConvertKit and Kajabi. Like, I need to implement all this. But really, what you need to do is get some clients.
Totally.
So I always say, like, don't get distracted by the tools and the systems at the, like, step one. And I feel like ClickUp can be super distracting because it is so robust, but it's a very powerful tool.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in like the beginning stages of my business, I didn't have a website. My like version of ClickUp was like an old school planner and just like very basic things. And because like you said, you know, you grow into those as your business grows, but you have to first have a business to be able to actually need those tools. So yes, attracting and landing clients is always going to be number one, or, you know, getting your offer out into the world for sure. Okay. This has been so fun. I have loved chatting about all the things. One of the things that we started doing is like some rapid fire questions. So we're going to go through like a few fun ones. You can just like spit off whatever comes to, you know, top of your head. Don't feel like you have to overthink it. Okay. So what are you currently reading right now?
I'm actually rereading. It's called Launch by Jeff Walker. I've probably read it 5 times, but we're getting ready to relaunch our club membership. And I just love like his strategy behind what he teaches. So it's kind of a boring answer.
That's okay. I love myself a good business book. I'm pretty sure that's actually in my Amazon cart right now. So I'll have to like actually click purchase on that.
Yeah, they just redid it. So they just redid his like original book. So it's like expanded version now. So you get even more when you read it.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, what are you currently watching?
Oh, well, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, and they just came out. I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically like the prequel to Game of Thrones. So my husband and I have been binging that. I say binging, but they come out with like one a week. And I'm like, can you just release them all at one time?
I'm the same way. I'm like, I need all 20 episodes up front, please and thank you. I think back to like back in the day when we had to like actually watch things on TV at the exact time that it came on. Otherwise, like that was it. You didn't see it. And I'm like, I don't know how we lived life like that.
Right.
Okay. Next question is, what are you currently craving?
Craving. Oh, that's a good question. We actually just made energy bites for my girls because we're trying to like make sure that they're eating more protein. And I like made them a little more like chocolatey and probably tastier than I would for myself. And I've eaten way too many. So I tend to grab those like during the day now.
Well, at least they have the word energy in them. So they've got to be somewhat healthy.
Sneak in some protein powder and not tell them.
Yes. Okay. And then who is currently inspiring you right now? It could be like a person or an account you follow.
Oh, that is a great question. I actually just connected. Her name is Heather Chauvin. She was actually on our podcast. And one of the things that I love about podcasting is the relationships that come out of it. And she's a mindset strategist. And I mentioned in our method, we talk a lot about mindset, but I'm like not an expert in mindset, right? Like that's just not my thing to teach. And so we've just had this beautiful relationship that has come out of a podcast episode of like, I've been teaching in her community and she's been teaching in my community, but it's been really cool because she actually reached out to me and her podcast has like 7 million downloads. Like I never in a million years thought that she would reach out to me and be like, oh, can you come serve in my community? And I think it just goes to show that like there are people out there who are super supportive and who are really looking to help other, you know, business owners, regardless of where you're at in business. And I just thought that was such an amazing example of just leaning into like what feels good and how to help others and kind of going back to that like serving mentality.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I'll have to give her a follow. I love all things mindset. I'm like, give me all the tips and tricks because I think, you know, as business owners and especially as women, we have a tendency to just overthink things and get in our heads a lot, especially when like you're your own boss. So you don't have anybody saying like, yes, you're doing a good job or like, no, you should probably veer left a little bit. And so mindset is like such a huge player in, I feel like, the overall success of our business. So I love that you touch on that and I'll definitely have to give her a follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. We will have to have you back again soon for sure. Tell us, where can everybody find you?
Yeah. So if you guys are into really learning how to build a full-time business on a part-time schedule, I actually have a 5-day free challenge. It's totally free. It's called CEO Week, and it's at hollymariehaines.com/CEO Week. And it literally walks you through Monday through Friday, what to focus on, what systems to set up, how to pitch yourself, what social media to share, like all the things that you need to do as a business owner. So it's just hollymariehaines.com/CEO Week. And then you can always catch me on the Crush the Rush podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll be sure to put that information in the show notes as well. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.